So I've learned over the years that I've been preaching that it's important to go to the source when you're preparing a sermon. So this week, I checked in with the two biggest authorities there are, the bookstore and YouTube. Where else would you go to learn about the apocalypse? I'm not recommending that you jump down this particular rabbit hole because there's a lot to wade through, and it turns out that no one actually agrees with anyone else. But just in case you're curious, YouTube reports that Stephen Hawking said we have until the year 3018 to prepare for the end of the world. Isaac Newton only gave us until 2061. And The Simpsons, however, predicted a nuclear wasteland by the end of this year. So I thought I should maybe look for something a little more curated. So I went to indigo.ca and searched apocalypse. In a few seconds, 3,699 resources were there at my fingertips. Everything from how to survive the apocalypse, to the dangers of environmental destruction, to graphic novels, to lists of the undisputed signs of the end of the world, to the zombie apocalypse from the perspective of a cat. It seems that many, many things are ready to do us in, and you can drive over to the bookstore after church today and read all about them. Political problems, climate change, volcanoes, the undead, bioweapons, earthquakes, nuclear war. It's a wonder we leave our houses. But don't be afraid, because all you need is a scientifically enhanced superhero or a trio of savvy teenagers to save the day. Jesus talks about it too: wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines and the destruction of the temple, persecutions and trials, and within it, his own very real death on the cross. It's scary. That's a lot of unrest to contend with. Mark 13 could well be posted alongside those video clips, or shouted from the street corner by a wild-eyed prophet with a cardboard sign. But at this moment, Jesus isn't doing any of that. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives, maybe watching the sun set over Jerusalem, chatting with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Maybe he's got his arms wrapped around his knees, gazing at the temple in the distance. The Mount of Olives is an important place for Jesus. It's between Jerusalem and Bethany, where he spends a lot of time. He crossed over it on the donkey on his way to Palm Sunday, on the way to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And he'll pray here in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he dies. He will speak here of God's judgment and of signs in the heavens. And he'll foretell the destruction of that same temple he's looking at. These are hard words, and they're scary things to ponder, and there's a lot of people around who are really afraid of them. But the disciples are more curious than anything. They take him aside and they ask, "Jesus, when will these things be?" Jesus doesn't answer their question. He just keeps looking across at the temple. Maybe he's remembering that the last people to ask him for a sign were the Pharisees, who made it their mission to argue and test him while letting injustices go unnoticed. Jesus doesn't give them times or dates. He just says, "Beware that no one leads you astray, like those who claim to come in his name. Don't be led astray like those who have lost their souls in pursuit of the world, or caused God's little ones to stumble, or have loved their possessions more than God, or worse still, don't be led astray like those who took the temple itself and made it a place to take advantage of the poor. Don't be led astray by those who make a show of their piety but devour widows' houses for their own ends." Because the temple, the place that began as the dwelling place of God's glory, has been twisted into a mockery of itself. It's not lived up to its high calling. People have loved the show and forgotten its substance. We can understand this because the church often fails at the very same thing. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. He spent his ministry peeling back that mighty-looking facade and exposing the rotten core of those who have made status and piety their religion. Woe to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who go through the motions but have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. In this, I think Jesus is saying, trust the right stone. Because the things that look strong sometimes aren't. If the disciples are putting their trust in having all the right information or being able to read the signs, they need to know that that stone will crumble too. It's not a strong enough foundation for their faith. The real stone, the strong foundation, the cornerstone that can carry everything and stands against all that might corrupt and destroy the beloved children of God, that's the one sitting on the dusty grass beside them. Hardly anyone suspects he's the living temple. Apocalypse as a cataclysmic event is a modern way to understand the word. But before that, it meant a revealing of something. Taking it that way, maybe then we can see the true apocalypse is Jesus himself. The one who reveals truth, the one who reveals hearts, and most of all, the one who reveals God. Maybe he's looking across to Jerusalem and to the temple and thinking of the words of Zechariah the prophet. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mountain shall move northward and the other half southward, and you shall flee to the valley of my mountains. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. On that day, even at night, there shall be light. And on that day, living waters shall flow out of Jerusalem, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. The temple is beautiful, and it's a wonder of architecture. But the most important thing is what it's supposed to point to, the kingdom of justice and truth that God is building, human heart by human heart. Because behind the crazy-sounding Galilean street preacher making audacious claims about the kingdom of God lies the glory of all of heaven. Jesus is the one who will reveal justice, mercy, and faithfulness to everyone who is lying in the dust, convinced that they don't deserve any of it. In the words of the first letter of Peter, he's building a new temple, this one of living stones, people called to be a holy priesthood built by God that will not be put to shame, built of stones that are people living by justice, mercy, and faithfulness, as a witness to the grace of God. And this new temple is being built on the most unlikely cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. And yet that cornerstone is strong enough to weather any persecutions, any natural disasters, anything that the end of time can throw at it. And strong enough to hold us through the same. Take that, zombie apocalypse. Amen.